Well, it might seem odd here in the dead of winter, where we see snow and blowing snow and cold temperatures coming at us here for the next several days, but we're going to talk about something that's going to make you feel a whole lot warmer. It's a program called Trees for Kids through the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, and the program coordinator, Gabby Edwards, joins us on the phone here this morning. We're going to talk about that. Gabby, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for the time. The Trees for Kids program sounds like it's a long way off right now, planting trees and all, but it's the time to start thinking about applying for this program.
Yes, yep. Now is the time to start getting all your ducks in a row, get your nursery notification out there, and get the quotes all set so that you can be ready to plant when spring comes here. And just a few months, April, May, it'll be here before we know it, hopefully at least.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed, you bet. Well, talk a little bit about the Trees for Kids program. How did it start? How long has it been around?
It's been around for at least a couple decades. I believe it started at the beginning of 2000, 2002-ish was the first time we had it. It's been under a few different names. It used to be called Trees for Teens. Now it's called Trees for Kids. But the same basic principle, it is a education-focused grant where the DNR awards funds to organizations that can be Girl Scout groups, it could be school groups, county conservation, to plant trees and engage youth in the planting of trees and talk about environmental education, and as well as, you know, obviously planting the trees and help reduce some of that wind that we're seeing right now and beautify the area and all the other benefits that trees bring along.
You bet. Well, I know the state has some other programs that to help folks plant trees in their yards and landscaping and those types of things. That's not what this is, right?
Correct. We do have several private land programs, but the Trees for Kids program is targeted specifically to public land. So we're talking school property, county conservation lands, if your city has a park, or one of those areas, you know, where it says, Welcome to Atlantic, the nice big sign, that would be perfect, as well as other city-owned trails, walking trails, bike paths. Really, any public property is eligible for this. But, correct, this program does not cover private property.
Okay. So the whole goal of this is to, in addition to the benefits of more trees, is to kind of raise awareness and get youngsters thinking about these things?
Yes. Yep. We often have school groups apply for this grant where a local science teacher might be doing a curriculum program on the environment or biology about plants and how they grow, and that this kind of fits in perfectly to that. But yes, the main goal of this, in addition to the trees, of course, is to get youth in Iowa engaged with the outdoors and the environment and trying to stir up that passion, so to speak, to take care of our land for, you know, the future and when they grow up.
You bet. Well, I noticed in the application materials and things, it talks specifically about there's some preference given to folks that live in our part of the state, in Cass and Fremont, Mills, Montgomery, Page, Pottawatomie counties. Why is that?
So currently the Iowa DNR has an active grant in partnership with the U.S. Forest Service that covers those six counties. And in our grant with the Forest Service, we include these activities as part of our deliverables for the Forest Service, which is why the six furthest southwest counties in the state are considered priority, which means basically that if we receive a program from that area, you'll get a little bit of a boost compared to other applications in the state. But we are still accepting applications from across the state, and we will still award applications from across the state. But we are hoping to get at least maybe a couple more in that that six-county priority area compared to the rest of the state.
Very good. So a real opportunity here for youngsters in this part of the state to make a positive impact.
Correct. Yep. So, again, not only are you planting trees, but, you know, in the wintertime, for sure, you notice, at least I do, all of the windswept areas in the region around fields, or you see that kind of that black snow where you get that buildup of soil erosion along the roadways or along trails. And this is, again, is a perfect time to be thinking about that. I know it's, as you mentioned, it's a little bit difficult to start thinking about spring and trees growing and green again after we've had white and ice for so long. But again, this is the perfect opportunity to get some trees planted as well as engage some youth in the process and hopefully get them a little bit more interested in natural resources.
Great. Well, this looks like a pretty valuable program. There's some decent money involved in these grants, and it doesn't look like there are a tremendous amount of restrictive requirements. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So the grant awards up to $2,500 per project, and that $2,500 can be spent towards the purchase of trees and mulch. So if you want to have a bag or two of mulch per tree, this grant would cover that as well. And when we talk about trees, we're talking about the types of trees that you typically buy at your local nursery store. So the ones that are, 5-7 gallon buckets that are maybe 4 to 6 feet tall, that's the type of trees that we're discussing. And then beyond the requirement to plant on public property, we do have a requirement for some form of youth engagement. And that's a little bit different than we've had in the past. So previously, we really encouraged groups of students or groups of youth to get out and actually plant the trees together as a group. We'd have a big event. We'd bring staff in and kind of do this big planting project all together. But with the current pandemic that we're in, we don't really want to encourage groups to gather if they're not already gathering for school or whatever. And so we're trying to be flexible with the education component. We are allowing groups to do a variety of different education methods. So we've had some groups go out and kind of assign a time and a location for like a family unit. So say a child at the, fourth grade science class is doing this. Each child along with their family would be assigned a day and a time to come and plant the tree. They'd be the only ones there. They'd watch a video and have some education, and then they kind of plant it as a social distance precaution. But that, in addition to that, you could also have a video about how to plant trees. We've had some science teachers live stream plantings before for a class and kind of talk through the process with the class. And that way, any sort of curriculum-based thing that's kind of wound into a class or a presentation about trees or nature, again, because of the extreme circumstances that we're all in, we still want to plant these trees, but we also want to be encouraging youth engagement, and that's where we really are trying to be as flexible as we possibly can. Ultimately, we want to get these trees planted, but we still want to bring in that youth and that education component. So we're willing to work with anybody. That, again, is kind of where you would contact me as the facilitator of this program to discuss your ideas. We can talk back and forth and see what we can provide to help with that. But we're kind of really being flexible with the environmental education component this year. But that's really the main requirement. So plant it on public property and some amount of youth engagement.
Okay, very good. Now, I was looking at the application too, and because that can be a little bit daunting sometimes, when, especially with young people who aren't used to those types of things, hearing, there's an application process and they suddenly think of all these mounds of paperwork. But that's not the case with this.
No, we've actually revised our application in the last several years, so it can hopefully be kind of like a front and back thing. So really, you need to have some sort of organization that would be the people who would pay for the trees, and that we would then pay them. This is a reimbursement grant, so you pay for the trees up ahead of time, turn in all the documents to us, and then we reimburse you the funds that you spent. So we need something like that, whether that be a kind of conservation group, a local FFA chapter or 4-H group, Boy Scouts, anything like that. But then, yes, the application itself, you're really just describing the project that you had in mind. So you're describing the area of land that you want to plant these trees, why you want to plant trees there, what trees you would be planting, and then kind of a long-term maintenance plan. So in addition, obviously, trees, it's important that we plant trees in yards and in properties. But at the same time, we don't want to plant trees and then just leave them there. I mean, they need to have care. They need to have water. They need to be maintained over several years. And so another component of the application is describing what the next 3 to 5 year maintenance plan would look like. So making sure that there is someone in the community that would be responsible to going out and watering the trees, especially that first 1 to 2 years is really critical. For the tree to get established and be healthy. So really it's just that maintenance plan. But beyond that, again, just describing the project, why you're doing it, what you're doing, and then how you're going to maintain it into the future.
Okay, very good. It might sound like a lot, but it really isn't. Like I said, I've got the application form here in my hands. It really is just name, rank, and serial number, a little bit about the project and exactly what she talked about, and then just no more than like you'd be typing out an email to a friend, you know, just typing out a short narrative on some of the specifics about the program. Mm-hmm. It really wouldn't take very long to do.
As long as you have that partner kind of communication set up where, you know the group that you're going to be working with, you know kind of the plan of what you want to do, you're right. The application should hopefully not take you very long. It's mainly just kind of putting your thoughts down on paper so that we can understand what the project is and the goals for that project.
Absolutely. Now, if folks would like more information, and there's plenty more online, or they would like to find that application, again, that deadline for applying is Friday, March 5th, so it's not too terribly far down the road. How do they find that, Gabby?
The applications are available on our DNR website. It's a little bit tricky to navigate you there, but basically, if you go to DNR Forestry, there is a section called Educational Opportunities. Educational Opportunities, it's under there. There's also a search bar on our DNR webpage. If you type in Trees for Kids, it should pull up in that search bar as well.
All right, very good. And we'll have a link. We'll podcast this on our website at kjan.com, and where you find the interview, you'll find a link to get you right to that spot, too, if you're interested and want to find out more. Gabby, thank you so much for the program. It sounds like a real great opportunity for youngsters to get involved in their local communities.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for sharing it, and we look forward to receiving applications for projects and in those six county areas and in your coverage area as well as across the rest of the state.